this tiny little nation was surrounded by threatening massive powers that were constantly at battle with one another, and Israel was constantly being caught up in the midst of their tensions. On the northeast was the Assyrian Empire, in the south the Egyptian, in the east Babylon, and to the west they were locked in by the Mediterranean Sea. So you got this tiny little vulnerable nation, and when the Assyrians were in ascendancy, they'd just whip on through and crush everything in sight. When the Babylonians took over, they'd massacre everybody in Israel, and it just went on and on like this for 100 years of this horrible uncertainty, unrest, anxiety, and fear for this poor, vulnerable, small nation. And in that kind of context, you know, you gotta sympathize with Isaiah, and you really, really want to hear Isaiah cry out with a loud, threatening voice, as he appears to do in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 4. He, speaking of God, he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Yes, bring it on. Smite my enemies. Destroy those Assyrians. Wipe out the Babylonians. Crush the Egyptians. Isn't it great? Let's sign up for that program. Or if maybe years later, when the threat wasn't so much the Babylonians and Assyrians and Egyptians as the threat was the might of the great Roman Empire, and you're still a small, threatened nation, and you have powers at work in your nation that are choking the life out of the people, and even the church, even the religious officials of the day, are part of this incredible oppression that is crushing the poor and choking the life out of them. You want John the Baptist at that point to come out into the wilderness and to speak to these leaders of the nation, saying, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear fruit," that would be you guys, "is cut down and thrown into the fire." Isn't that great? You'll love it. It's wonderful. Sign me up. But in the midst of oppression, uncertainty, threat, and violence, there is, in both Isaiah and in John the Baptist, there is another voice. There is another encouragement that lies at the heart of both John the Baptist and the prophet Isaiah. And it's profoundly, it seems to me, counterintuitive. So Isaiah, the prophet, does not just call for God to strike the earth and destroy the wicked. He also says, "The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with a kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." Great. What's that good for? I don't want a little child. I want a mighty king on a charging steed with a big tank, to mix my metaphors a little bit. I mean, I want power. I want military might. I don't want to be led by a little child. That's useless. What's the good of a little child in the face of the Assyrian Empire? What's a little child going to do to the Babylonians and the Egyptians? What a waste. I think Isaiah shares a vision with John the Baptist. You know, Israel is not the only small nation that has ever felt threatened in life by powers greater and stronger than itself. Some of you might remember in the 1980s, there was a little Central American nation, Nicaragua, that was caught up in a tectonic great struggle of mighty nations and was trapped in revolution and rebellion. And there was a young man in 1987 who went to Nicaragua with the Peace Corps, Ben Linder. He was from the United States. He was a civil engineer with the Peace Corps. And he went to Nicaragua to help the people of Nicaragua. He went there to work on a hydroelectric project, helping them to generate electricity in the hopes that they could better their lives. In 1987, Ben Linder was assassinated in Nicaragua by the Contras. And that event stirred an English pop singer, Sting, to write a song in 1988 that he recorded on his album, Nothing Like the Sun. The song was called Fragile. And Sting wrote about this, writing this song, saying, I was reading about a young American in the Peace Corps in Nicaragua who was shot by the Contras. I felt very sad. This guy had gone to Nicaragua to try to help and ended up being mistaken, deliberately or otherwise, for a Marxist guerrilla. I think there was a lot of that kind of mistake being made. This idea of fragility was a very important one for me. It's very easy to kill people. It's almost a casual thing. And so Sting wrote, if blood will flow when flesh and steel are one, drying in the color of the evening sun, tomorrow's rain will wash the stains away, but somehow in our minds will always stay. Perhaps this final act was meant to clinch a lifetime's argument that nothing comes from violence and nothing ever could, for all those born beneath an angry star, lest we forget how fragile we are. On and on the rain will fall, like tears from a star, like tears from a star. On and on the rain will say, how fragile we are, how fragile we are. On and on the rain will fall, like tears from a star, like tears from a star. On and on the rain will say, how fragile we are, how fragile we are. If Isaiah, the prophet, promises that a child will lead the nation of Israel in the midst of all the threat and fear that they are experiencing, Isaiah the prophet is saying that ultimately the way forward is not through violence. The way forward is not through vengeance. The way forward is, as John the Baptist suggests, through baptism. It's a strange image, you know? All these great people go out from the cities and they go out into the wilderness to see John the Baptist. And what does he do when they get there? He takes them and he plunges them under the water. And then he brings them back. I had occasion, how long ago was it, to wade into the ocean. When was that? Seems like a long time ago now. March? And I'm going to come here for a sec. Come on up. I won't embarrass you, not too much. I promise. So back in March, Iona made me go into the ocean. Was it cold?
It was cold.
And she was quite a bit shorter then than she is now. Plus we were in the ocean, you know, so when you're in the ocean, you float. So what did I tell you to do? Do you remember? Other hand. That one, yes, and then, that's right. And then I took her, hold your nose, hang on, trust me, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure she does. Okay, do it again. And then I took her in the water and I brought her back. And then I brought her up. I put her back further in the water, but if I do that farther here, I might drop her and she wouldn't like me. Thank you. Good job. So, what is that? What's that an image of? That is an image of fragility. When someone like me takes you and plunges you under the water and your feet go out from underneath you, and you're on your back, you are helpless. Get it? You are utterly helpless. Israel was utterly helpless. The people of Nicaragua were utterly helpless. We are fragile. I went, those of you who are my friends on Facebook, know that on Friday, Heather and I took our four granddaughters and two of their friends to a skating event at the, what's that place called? The Panorama? Is that where it was? Yes, Panorama Leisure Center. I'm not sure what the leisure is about, but anyway. So the two friends and our two oldest granddaughters, they're fine. They just took off skating and shoo, they're gone. The three-year-old, Eleanor, is not quite so good. So we got her a little thing, you know, like a walker only for ice. And you put her in there and she kind of needs somebody to follow her around. And the next one up, Linnea, who is five? Six? Six, thank you. You know, six. So Linnea, who is six, I got her one of those walker things too. Put her on the ice. Oh, I don't need this. Yeah, you need it. Grandpa needs it. Grandpa needs you to have it. So she went around once with the walker, and that was it. The walker, skater, whatever you call it. Is there a word for that, those things? No?
Trainer.
What?
Trainer.
A trainer, right. No more trainer for her. And she just took off, kind of running on skates on ice, just going and going, just down, deep, focused. And Grandma or Grandpa, whichever one wasn't looking after Eleanor, would kind of try to stay nearby so that we could be there when she fell and maybe catch her or help her up. But she fell and she didn't care. She just got up on her own. But it was for a full hour. She's got her head down. She's just going, 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 going. And I tell you that because I'm going to read you a text that I sent to my family this morning. Here it is. I dreamed last night, so this has gone to my daughters, right? I dreamed last night that Mummy and I, with three of the four girls, so that's three of our grandchildren, I dreamed last night that Mummy and I, with three of our four granddaughters, moved to the East Coast. But left Linny behind in Victoria. I woke up in a blind panic, my heart racing and my mind churning, thinking I could not go and see Linny, and she was so far away, and I was never going to see her again. I felt filled with loneliness and loss. I had to come downstairs to try to get back to sleep at 2:30, but it took a long time before I could sleep again. I felt deeply fragile. And I realized it's so connected to watching this little 2-foot-2 being bombing around on the ice and worrying. She had a helmet on, but worrying and looking and just realizing how incredibly fragile she is. And then realizing, you know what? That's a picture of me. I am fragile. And the irony of that is that for Isaiah, a little child is going to lead them. For John the Baptist, it's as we submit to that fragility that we find the way through. And we spend our whole lives fighting against being fragile. We spend our whole lives trying to say, I'm capable, I'm strong, I'm big, I can look after myself, and I'll look after you too at the same time. We can't do it. We don't have what it takes. We are surrounded by Assyrians. There are Babylonians on every side. Egypt is about to march across the borders. And we are all deeply and profoundly fragile. The ones who can't admit it, the ones who won't acknowledge it, in the gospel reading this morning, in Matthew's gospel, they're called the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they're the ones who come out and say, I'm here. I got this. I got this nailed. I can look after myself. I know how the system works. I know what the rules are. And I know how to be a good person. I know how to be a fine, upstanding example of the right way forward and the right way to live. So you all should follow me. And John the Baptist looks at them and says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee?" He calls it the coming wrath, but what he means is your fragility. Who warned you to flee from what puts you in touch with that which makes you experience the fragility of life? Why is it? Why is it that we think we need to be so strong? Why is it that we think we need to have all the answers? Why is it that we think we need to be so smart? Why is it so hard for us to submit to baptism? Why is it so hard for us to go down under that water and to experience our really utter helplessness? It's hard, I think, because as long as we keep our strength and our smarts at the forefront, we fail to see something else or to hear something else that John the Baptist said. When he was castigating the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he said, "Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham." There is a force and a power, a strength and a wisdom and a light and a truth and a goodness here in each of us that is stronger than the Assyrians, that is more real than the Babylonians, that is mightier than the Egyptians, and that never lets us down. We call it in our tradition God, and we say that we see it embodied, this strength and power of might and love. We see it embodied in the person of Jesus. He is the answer to that which we experience when we touch our fragility, when we feel vulnerable, when we feel that we can't cope, when we feel that somehow the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Egyptians are too strong and we can't find the way through. There is always in us a force and a power and a might that is stronger and more real. It looks like a child. It looks small and vulnerable. It doesn't look like an Assyrian army. It doesn't look like a tank. It doesn't look like a gun. Because it's the willingness to abandon ourselves to the reality of what is. It's the willingness to let ourselves go down under the water, to be overwhelmed, to feel utterly undone, to feel that we are completely incapable of getting through from day to day, and to simply enter into that experience and allow that experience to break our hearts open to a deeper reality. You see, you know, you've all heard me say, well, some of you have heard me say, that if you're going to live the Christian faith, you have to be able to hold two completely contradictory truths at exactly the same time. Truth number one, from Sting, you are fragile. Truth number two, you are absolutely indomitable. You have in you a strength that surpasses everything you could ask or imagine. And I think somehow, I don't know anything about Sting, except that he has a weird name. Sting. Who names their kid Sting? Is that really? He must have another name. He used to wear a bumblebee shirt? And so they called him Sting. Oh, that's hilarious. Thank you for that. Wow, that is weird. But, you know, I don't know anything about him or his faith. I didn't even know he had a bumblebee on his shirt. But he does, he in this, you know, the chorus, "On and on the rain will fall, like tears from a star, like tears from a star. On and on the rain will fall." How fragile we are. How fragile we are. How fragile we are. How fragile we are. But in the first verse, he says what the rain does. "If blood will flow and flesh and steel are one, drying in the color of the evening sun, tomorrow's rain will wash the stains away. Tomorrow's rain will wash the stains away. There is always something in us that is stronger and more lasting and more real and more true than all the stains that have stained all of human history. And we come here to affirm that. We come here to hold that truth deep in our hearts and to feed it and nourish it so that when we find our fragility, we don't have to build a wall. When we are confronted with our vulnerability, we don't have to take up arms against whatever it is that has caused us to feel vulnerable. We can simply allow that to be an experience that opens our heart and creates deeper and greater tenderness at the heart of our being. Amen.